Okay, let's move on to keeping talent. So, keep them engaged, provide choices and opportunity, and they will act like owners. Not that this happens to anybody in the room, but hypothetically, if you give someone a task and 10 minutes later you go back and say, just forget it, I'll do it myself, is that giving them the feeling of being engaged? Is it giving them the idea of being having choices? Is it giving them the idea that they have some opportunities? Probably not. So it's just a checkpoint. Hey, if that's happening, great. You know, do a nose thing like I was kidding around yesterday. If I said something before, just tap your nose, I'll know I already covered it because I had two sessions running together in my head here. And they'll start to act like owners. Okay, enjoyment, support, rewarded, values. And again, what's next for me here? So Laura, I'll just use real life examples. Laura came in as our video editor. Like, all I want to do is edit video. She has now progressed to the point where she's the manager of Robin. Robin now posts the videos online. Robin is also in charge of customer Laura is also in charge of customer service now, and Robin supports her in that responsibility. Robin and Laura are now going to take on some social media responsibility for us. You see how that works? Right? So what's next for me here? You need to answer that for your team members. Because after, I don't know, 2 years? After 2 years, they may be thinking, yeah, I'm going to do something else. Okay? And it may not be, you know, within your own organization. So you got to think that way too. Here we go. Expectations are clearly defined. Day-to-day tasks and responsibilities are outlined with praise and consequences outlined. Key point. Up front. So write up front on there. Well, that just sounds silly. So, Kevin Baylor Jr., has a pizza place right across the street called Shorty's, Shorty's Pizza, in Waco, Texas. And Kevin needs a part-time job, goes to Shorty's. Fast forward, I won't walk you through the whole thing, but I said, Kevin, what was the coolest thing about your first day? He goes, man, I got great training. It was awesome. How long was the training? Oh, about an hour. I said, what was the biggest takeaway? He goes, if the person's water glass is ever empty, there's a chance I'll be fired. Let me say that again. If the person's water glass is ever empty, there's a chance I may be fired. So let me ask you a question. If Kevin does 100 things wrong, what is not going to be one thing he does wrong? Common sense is not common practice. So we do a really good job in our entrepreneur businesses about talking about all the things we want this person to do. But if we build on that and take it one step further and say, please don't ever do fill in the blank. Now, the expectation is if I ever do that, there is a chance I may be disciplined, counseled, whatever word you want to use in your culture. But Kevin's been at the Shorty's Pizza Place for a long time now. So I don't think the water glass of the customer was ever completely empty, do you? Now, rewind the tape all the way back. Hypothetically, somebody owns a pizza restaurant. Hypothetically, they train you for an hour. Hypothetically, they tell you all the things you should be doing. And hypothetically, you don't do one of those things, and they come to you and fire you immediately. And we think that's okay. So why don't we just pick the two or three things, and here's the easy way to do it. If this person ever fills in the blank, I am going to be so fuming mad at them. Put yourself in that mindset. A customer ever walks into one of my gyms, and the receptionist doesn't greet them within 10 seconds, they're going to be on a performance plan. So, interpretation. If I am the receptionist at a gym, hypothetically, and somebody walks into my gym, when am I going to greet them? Probably within 10 seconds. Now let me just keep going here for a second. Difficult to manage and measure that. But let's just say it was something very much we could measure. For instance, let's say that we wanted to make sure that their inbox never had more than 50 emails in it. We can measure that, right? And let's say if we told them up front that if their inbox ever has more than 50, there's a chance that they'll be, written up for a performance plan, or we'll have a discussion about their performance, right? do you think they'd be more open to keeping their inbox to under 50? And what about this? At the end of the week, if they keep their inbox, every time you happen to tell them you were going to quality check them at any given time in the day, that you may actually walk by there and just say, hey, can you open your inbox real quick? They know that may happen. It may happen. And at the end of the week, you kept score and they never had an inbox more than 50. Can you drop a $10 gift card on their desk and say, Elaine, you did a great job last week. I mean, you kept your inbox under 50 the whole time. It's a positive consequence, right? It's a positive way to reward positive praise. Catch people doing things right, man. Mm-hmm. Don't catch them doing things wrong. Catch them doing things right. You know, it's an old adage. You know, you don't keep screaming at your kids, Just catch them doing something right and give them praise for that, and they're going to want a lot more of that. James talked about that last night at dinner. You know, people want recognition and praise. So turn that frown upside down. Catch them doing things right. I went off again. Was that helpful?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. If I improve things, will I work myself out of a job? This is one of the main reasons why people don't want to improve the quality. Let's go back to the real world example. Well, let's go back to the hypothetical example that I used yesterday about the rekeying of the notes. Put yourself in that person's shoes. You're the person who's getting this handwritten note thing and you're retyping it into Word, and that's taken one day out of five, and you start hearing that there might be a new way to do that. In your mind, what are you thinking? And what are you realistically going to probably start doing if you're in that situation? You're going to start surfing the web, looking on all the job sites, you're going to start asking, and next thing you know, fast forward 3 weeks later, you're going to lose that person. Because your culture said you may potentially let them go because they found a better way to do things.
Here's where they come in and say, you got a minute?
Yeah. I got a minute? By the way, I'm leaving in 2 weeks. So there's like three steps to get you there. Here's the end. I'm real good at telling you what success looks like.
Yeah.
Success looks like this. Imagine this happening. Knock, knock. Hi, this is Davey. Or ring, ring. Hi, this is Davey. Hey, Davey, it's John. Hey, listen, I'm the general manager out here at branch number 6. And I just wanted to schedule some time with you to talk about, I think I can increase my productivity by 20%. And what that means to you is I can save like one day a week on something I'm doing. Can we schedule some time to do that? Sure, let's do it tomorrow at 9 a.m. Stop. Did you call them or did they call you? Would that be cool? Someone calls you and says, I think I can save you $200,000 a year. I'm the general manager over here at XYZ branch. Can we get together? Are you going to make that appointment, guys? Is that going to be one of the top three on your primary list for tomorrow? Okay. So the whole idea here is, how do I get that instead of me calling them? How do I get them coming to me? It starts with culture and environment. Because if you don't have that culture and environment where they feel they can come to you with an idea, and if you really want to hit it out of the park and hit a grand slam, put some kind of a program together based on the profitability. Create an idea of the month club. I'm just going to ramble here. I don't know if I'm getting to this stuff or not. So one, put a profitability program together based on the percentage of profit you're making each month, each quarter, each year, whatever that happens to be for you. Number two, put a contest together. You know, each person is required to submit one new idea every month. And when you do that, if yours is selected, you get a $50 gift card. Another thing you can do is in your team meetings and say, hey, Elaine, what's one thing we can do better around here each and every day? Just give me one idea. Every week you're going to ask that person and everybody on your team. Next thing you can do is ask them, hey, what's one thing you... I'm going way too fast. What's one thing you learned last week that you'd want to share with others so they can be just as good as you are at it? And I probably have 100 more, but I don't have time. So I just want to give you the spirit of where we're trying to go here. I don't want people coming in thinking, oh my gosh, if I do a better job, I may get fired. No. If you do a better job, you may, A, feel better about yourself, B, you may actually make more money, C, you may actually get promoted, D, you may actually have more free time, D, E, you may actually have more freedom. I can go on and on with that one too, right? So that's the idea. That's where we want to get to. There's a fundamental theme you probably heard in the last 10 minutes here, right? If you play sports, do they keep score at the end of the game? And I got to tell you, I would not go out on Sunday evenings for 2.5 hours to 3 hours playing basketball with a bunch of sweaty men every Sunday night if we didn't keep scoring the games. I just wouldn't do it. I mean, there's no Mountain Dew can over there for me.
Right.
So how do I interpret that to what can I be doing as an entrepreneur around keeping score? So three simple things. Expectation. What are you expecting from me? Second, how are you keeping score of how I'm doing on those expectations? And then the third is, how are you rewarding my performance? Okay, I just saved you reading another 167-page book. Is that okay? It's not much harder than that, guys. All right, so here are some questions that you don't have to ask them this way. As you figured out by now, I use extreme examples to get people's attention. So this question is for your current talent. You ask them, what keeps you up at night about this place? Now, that's written in a way where you go, I would never ask that. But you should ask something similar to that. And you should always have that feedback coming back to you as the entrepreneur, not just your internal folks, your vendors, your suppliers, the folks you are outsourcing to. I mean, is there anything keeping you up at night about our relationship? Yeah, man, you know, I wish you guys would just send me this stuff in a bigger envelope because you cram all this stuff in and I can't read what you're sending me. Okay, I'm glad you told me at least, right? So just having that dialogue back and forth around that. What makes you think about looking elsewhere for employment? Again, you may not want to ask it exactly that way, but these are just designed to get you thinking about the types of questions you should be asking your current talent. What's going good around here? What's going good around here? Hey, what are we doing good? What's not going so good? When I work with clients one-on-one, this is one question I ask privately of their team members. It's, what are we doing that's really stupid around here? Hypothetically, if someone said I was taking a set of notes by someone and rekeying them and it takes me one day a week, I think that's pretty stupid. Oh, thanks for sharing that. Incentive system ideas. So you can incent on customer profitability. You can incent people on customer retention. You can incent people on upselling the wine. You can incent people by keeping their inbox to a certain level with a gift card. You can incent people by fill in the blank. The spiff is not as important as having some kind of a system in place to reward great behavior. You know, have a system in place that when you catch someone doing something right, it's spur of the moment type thing. Something easy. Could be just a note on a napkin. So I want you to think back to, hypothetically, if you had freed up one day of someone's time and they were able to bring you one more customer every day, every week, every month, every year, whatever that number is for you, would you be willing to pay them some kind of a commission? What about a new customer that has been dead for cancel? A new customer that's been inactive for a year or so. So they were a customer, now they're inactive, so they're back on the prospect list, however you do that in your company. But what about if they did something with you and gave you revenue? Could you share that with one of your employees? Whatever that might be. Let me go through these stats and then we'll have a discussion. Write that down. Don't lose the thought. Write that down. All right, Franklin Covey research shows only 9% of workers feel a very high level of commitment of organizational goals. Only 22% agree that there is a clear line of sight between their own work and the organization's top priorities. So if I don't have my 3 to 7 goals clearly defined, where I can actually say it's 77 degrees in here, very specific, it's very hard for me to connect the dots to figure out what I'm doing each and every day to get us to 77 degrees. Workers spend 23% of their time on urgent but irrelevant activities. Chasing squirrels. Workers spend 17% of their time on counterproductive activities. I want you to go back to thinking about the largest company you can think of in your head, whatever that is. Maybe it's the most successful company. You know, their most important asset drives home at the end of the day. Their most important asset, it's not the product. It's not the service. Those are great assets, but they're most important and best asset ever is the people that are driving home every day, which is their people. You know, I never met a building that had a big heart, but I've met many people inside that have a big heart that make up the building. Okay, so you're the floor sweeper, very important job in an organization, but you have a business card. Do you feel a sense of pride? So there are certain franchises that I used to get my hair cut at that, this is a while ago, I actually upgraded the $5 haircut. I don't know if you noticed. It probably doesn't look as good as it did when it was at $5. But, you know, one thing that always bothered me is the stylist that did my hair had a card, and she or he would have to write their name on it. And I'm like, you know, this is just crappy. So I don't even have a card. You can get a freaking 1,000 business cards for $9.99. Okay? Is it worth a $10 investment to give that stylist a set of business cards for 10 freaking dollars? With, I don't know, spend 11 and let her or him put their picture on it. Now, I got to tell you, getting a card like that versus getting a card with someone's signature or can't even read their first name because it's scribbled on there, that would have a huge impact on me as a customer. I'd be like, man, I got a stylist business card. Three things: quality, cost, and speed. So think about that from a haircutting perspective. Speed, fast, yeah, did good. Cost, that wasn't $5, but let's just say it's $15 for a haircut. The quality looked good, $15 for the haircut. She did it good. She gave me a business card. I'm going back. I'm liking that. I'll go back to that place. It's different than anybody other place, other franchise that may cut hair. So what can you do differently? Here's a story about Enterprise that I thought was interesting, and I apologize, I should have put the source on here, but I didn't have time. But I want you to read those five things, and it goes back to what we just talked about with culture. I have a strong belief from very top to taking care of customers and employees is job number one. Number two, empower workers as entrepreneurs and pay them on the bottom line. Hold them financially accountable. Establish strategic partnerships. Doesn't really apply here. Dare to be different. They pay out almost 40% of their profits to their employees. I'm not saying that you got to pay 40% of your profits. What if you paid 4%? In your head, and let's do still a little exercise. So get the community calculator. If you don't have one of your own, you can use the community one. But just watch your calculator for a minute. How much money did you keep in your bank account last year for your business, approximately? You know, 10 grand, 20 grand, 50 grand, 100 grand, whatever that number is, and multiply it by 4%. Just for fun, we'll just do a little exercise here. See what that looks like. Could you put that into that number, whatever that is for you, can you put that into your monthly budget as an investment, not an expense, as an investment, and pay that out on a quarterly basis to the people that work with you? Is it going to drive you to the poorhouse and you're going to like have to take a second mortgage out on your home? 4%? People get just as excited over a $10 gift card as they would over a $40 bonus check at the end of the quarter. Sometimes it's not just about the money, it's about recognizing me to the enterprise model. Taking care of customers and, it doesn't say taking care of customers on number one, it says customers and who?
Employees.
Number two, empower them so they act like entrepreneurs. Okay? Hold employees financially accountable. I want people showing up at my office saying, can I set an appointment with you? I think I just found a way to save $20,000 next month. Acting like an owner, as an entrepreneur. And then finally, you know, dare to be different. But ultimately, it wouldn't hurt them if you paid 4% of your profit. Okay?